Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic demons and render your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you, Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Again, that's Hebrews, chapter 11, verse number 6. And we're going to read our foundational scripture we're using for this particular teaching. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Now, this verse says a lot. Number one, it lets us know that it is impossible to please our Heavenly Father without faith. Now, it did not say without prayer or without worship or without praise or without fellowship. No, the scripture says without faith, it is impossible to please him. So that should let us know in terms of priority, faith must be important because without it, we cannot, listen to me, we cannot please our Heavenly Father. Now, many of us as Christians are living a weak life. Many of us as Christians live on the weak level of inadequacy. Many of us as Christians live on the weak plateau of defeatism because we have not risen to the level of strength where our Heavenly Father meant for us as Christians to live. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, number 10 says, encourage us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. No one, now listen, no one can be strong in the Lord without being strong in faith. Therefore, I want to continue my teaching on, we must know the reality of God's word, the six principles of obtaining strong faith. Again, we must know the reality of God's word, the six principles of obtaining strong faith. Now, our last time together, we were discussing an issue in the Bible that sometimes and some Christians take offense to. And I made the comment that our Heavenly Father wants you well. And not only does he want you well, but he wants you rich. Amen. Rich. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. Now, you have gone off the deep end. No, just listen to what I got to say before you throw the baby out with the bathwater. Amen. When I mention the word rich, I am willing to say that most of you imagine rich in terms of the way the world system describes rich or looks at someone in terms of them being rich. Biblically speaking, and I'm highlighting the word biblically speaking, the word rich simply means to be abundantly supplied. To be abundantly supplied. Amen. Please go with me to the book of John, chapter 10. Again, that's John, chapter 10. And we're going to read 10b. And this is Jesus speaking. And he makes this statement. He says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So Jesus has come that we may have life and have the abundant life. God wants you to have life because he is the life-giving and life-sustaining God. Amen? He wants us all to have the life he came to give to us, which is life and life more abundantly. Being rich, biblically speaking, means to be abundantly supplied, which means there is enough for you, enough for you to sow into the ministry, enough to bless others, and enough left over for your desires. Do not get trapped in Satan's web of financial deception. Let me repeat that. Do not get trapped in Satan's web of financial deception. Many of you thought that it was man who kept you down, making you poor. You needed to know it has been Satan all along, camouflaging his actions and making you think it's the man in the bank attempting to keep you down. The devil wants you to think that your enemy is the other man instead of him. He conceals his work in darkness and he hides behind that false appearance and tries to deceive you with it. The devil is the one who desires you to be poor, but God's desire is for you to be rich. To be rich means to be abundantly supplied. If you continue in his word, you will know that he doesn't want you poverty stricken. Amen. Our Father who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, according to Psalms 50:10, belongs to him. When you need to realize that whatever belongs to the Father belongs to his children. Praise God. If my Father is rich, then I ought to be rich. It isn't God who wants you poverty stricken. But if you don't know the word, if you don't know the living reality of God's word, then you will go through life in bondage and then from bondage to poverty. Many Christians have this poverty syndrome. That's why many young people don't want to be bothered with Christianity. And I don't blame them. And the sad thing is that the church has perpetuated that thinking. Amen. It has perpetuated that thinking. Many young people think if I become a Christian, I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, also being young, there's probably a lot of young people who like cars. But do you know that Christians can have as many cars as you can afford? That's right. God doesn't care how many cars you have. This is not on his list of things that concern him, and he is certainly not opposed to that, and he never has. You can have as many cars as you want, as long as you bought them in accordance with the law. Study your Bible. You will find that all of God's men were the richest men in the country. Abraham and his nephew Lot had many cattle and so many flock, they couldn't even graze on the same countryside. Read your Bible. They had to split up and go in different directions because the land could not bear the cattle that they had. The cattle would have stripped the land bare because there were so many. They were rich and they were God's men. Solomon was so rich that it was unbelievable. God made Solomon rich, did he not? God is not opposed to us having things. He is opposed to things having us. Did you get that? Our Father, our Heavenly God, is not opposed to us having things. He is opposed to things having us. There is a wide difference between the two. He, God, doesn't want you to seek those things first. He wants you to seek him first. Amen. He wants you to seek him first, and he will give you those things. Please go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. The Bible says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Now, it's interesting in this verse, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God." Now, you never would use the word or the word first if there was not a second or third or fourth that comes after. You would just say, "Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness." But the word is telling us to seek God's word first. That should be the very first thing that we do when we wake up, is to seek his word. Amen. Notice the scripture does not say that those things would be subtracted from you. He said, but added to you. He says these things will be added to you. Amen. Do you see the order of God? Number one, you seek first the kingdom of God. That is where many make the mistake. They want to get the things first. And when they think they are secure in the things, then they say, "Now I will try God. Now I will go to church." The point I am trying to make is many Christians are like that. If you do what Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth and you will find that you don't have to be poor. Praise God. Amen. You do not have to be poor. You have the riches of heaven behind you because God is behind you. But you have to understand, you cannot know this unless you know the living reality of God's word. Amen. You have to continue in his word, period. You have to continue in his word. Many Christians, and I am ashamed to have to admit this, but they have never opened the Bible or read the Bible. Sure, it makes a beautiful object lying on the living room coffee table, taking up space. They won't know where to go if you ask them to find a certain things in their Bible. There are many people who have gone to church for years and don't know what the Word of God says about certain things or about them. Yes, the Bible has a lot to say about ourselves, but you will never know the living reality of the Word of God if you never open your Bible. That's why many are living in the poverty trap. Are you familiar with the poverty trap? It is one of Satan's most popular products. People are joining in every day. The poverty trap are the people who Satan has deceived through means of a thought, idea, or suggestion, and have them believing they belong on and can't get along street. They believe they belong on, can't get along street. Is that where you living? You know, barely making it, or can't get along the street, trying to make ends meet, living from paycheck to paycheck? Well, that may be where Satan wants you, but it certainly isn't where God wants you. Amen. Nowhere in the Bible can you find that God got any glory out of anybody being poor. But he did get glory when the people got blessed. Go to the book of Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse number 22. And it says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. You cannot leave anyone anything if you are living in the poverty trap. That scripture tells us that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So that's to his grandchildren. Amen. And being a good man, and a good man is one who knows the reality of God's word. So he leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Amen. When you continue in the word, when you know the Bible, you will know that it says, he himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses, and with his stripes you were healed. Now, if you were healed by the stripes of Jesus, then you were healed not only from sickness, death, and diseases, but also from poverty to a life of prosperity and abundance. See, God's word is multifaceted, and it means more than what you might originally think it says. So, I'm saying, if you are healed from the stripes of Jesus, then you are also healed from poverty to a life of prosperity and abundance. When you understand that and find it a living reality, and you start to live like it's so, you will walk in perfect prosperity. Because you see, the word of God tells us, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, found in Hebrews 13:8. And when we have read earlier, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's John 1:1. And in the beginning, it says, in the beginning was the Word, or the Logos, or the second person of the Godhead, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if the Word was God, then God was the Word. If Jesus was the Word, then Jesus is God and God is Jesus. Now, don't ask me how this works, because I don't know. All I know, the Bible says it, and that settles it. But that's what the Bible says, and I'm going to go along with it. Amen. If Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then God must be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything he was yesterday, he is today. And everything he is yesterday, he will be tomorrow. And everything he is tomorrow, he will be forever. Because the scripture tells us he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So thank God, if he was Jehovah Jireh, then the Lord who provides, that means he wants you to be well and prosperous. Amen. Now, you have to understand, in order for these things to work, you have to use your free will. If you are sick, you can be well, but you will never be well unless you find it in the word, believe it, and act on it. You have to get that word built into your spirit so that you're operating on strong faith. Amen. You're operating on strong faith. Then you can receive healing for your body from the hand of God. You don't have to go through life in pain and misery and arthritis and all that other junk. All of that is of Satan, because he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is not God. People don't understand why God, if he is really God, then why does he allow people to be sick? People always want to know that question. If God is such a good God, if God is a God of love, why does he allow people to be sick? That is the age-old question. Because you have a free will. You have a free will. And you have to know how to use it. Most people don't even know they have a free will. When you get a taste in your mouth for cigarettes, you go down to the store and you say, "Give me a pack of cigarettes." It takes you a few minutes to do that, and you don't have to go to the preacher or the pastor for permission. You just walk down there and get it because you have a will. You do it because you will to do it. When you start willing to do God's will, you will enter into that arena where you will walk in the fullness of God's word. Amen? How to obtain strong faith. The six principles. Now, the first principle is you must know the reality of God's word. You must know the reality of God's word. God's word is real for you. Is God's word real to you? Do you really know the living reality of the word of God? For a long time, I didn't know if the Bible was true. I was like so many of you, hoping and praying that it was. I wanted to believe it, but frankly, it was hard for me to do so because I couldn't see God. I couldn't talk to him. I couldn't touch him. I couldn't feel him. I couldn't interface with him. But thank God that I found out that his word is true. People were telling me all types of methods for me to use to get me to believe the word. They were saying I should pray harder, that I should go on a 7-day fast. But really, none of those methods really worked. Then somebody said, you should go to church more. And Dr. Michelle and I made up our minds that we were going to go to church more and get into the teaching of the word of God. You have to act like God is talking to you personally, and he is calling your name and telling you to do so and so. You have to act like this word of God. You have to act like God is speaking just to you on a one-on-one level. Amen. Just think about it. If God was to walk into your home, clothe himself in the flesh, walked into the dining room and stood behind the dining room table and said, thus and so, would you wait for an interpretation? Would you wait for a sign? Would you wait to find out if this is according to your denomination? Or would you obey God? What would you do? Would you obey God? What would you do? You have to know that the Bible is our Heavenly Father's word. It is like the two of you standing face to face, and he is speaking directly to you, telling you how much he loves you, telling how much he wants you to be his child. If you want to enter into strong faith, begin to get into the word and consume it. Eat it, digest it thoroughly every day, just like you eat your regular meals. And pretty soon, that living word on the inside of you will become alive. You will begin to understand that to do God's word is to love God. To do God's word is to please God. And to do God's word is to have strong faith. Amen. To have strong faith. These things will begin to register to you. These things will begin to fall into place for you, and life will begin to take on the promises and blessings that God promised in time past. There will be those who say you are a fanatic, a holy roller, one who is out of control. Well, just let those people keep on doing all the talking they want. Let them talk as much trash as they want. As long as they don't put their hands on you, you are fine. You just ride on those eagle wings of faith and enjoy the fullness of God. Amen. Rise above all those who dare to call you a nut as they stay stuck in the same old chair and circumstances that have kept them there for years. Well, you know what? I am just about out of time for today's service, but I thank you for joining us. But please join us for next week, where we continue our teaching on you must know the reality of words of God's word. Until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.